16 months ago, my wife and I and our three sons, we moved house. And the house we moved into has got a garden, and we've really been enjoying the garden. It's been great. And there are a few things that we like to do in our garden. One thing that we like to do is things that are thrilling. So, we've got a trampoline, and the boys really enjoy jumping up and down, occasionally attempting the odd somersault. It's very exciting. And one of the things we like to do in our garden is things that are thrilling. We also like to do a little bit of tilling. So here's some sunflowers. There's Zach. He's got his soil sieve. And we've got some soil from Wilco's that we bought in. We need to till the soil, sort out the soil, prepare the soil. They enjoy watering, tending, nourishing their plants. And so tilling is another thing that we like to do in our garden. But there's one other thing, and that is this: killing. We like to do some killing in our garden. Here's Theo with some weed killer. The previous owner left some plants that we do not want, and so we've been killing them. Since we've moved in, weeds have grown that we do not want, and so we've been doing some killing. And it's really annoying. You spray them, you dig them up by the roots, but they keep on coming back. It's really hard to get rid of them. And so we keep on having to kill them off. That's our garden. Things that are thrilling, tilling, and killing. Well, as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter, begins by reminding the Colossian church of some truths that are thrilling. Have a look at verse 3. For you died. Now, that might not sound very thrilling to be told that you've died. But in the context of the letter of Colossians, it's really thrilling because it means their old life has died. That's what we saw in chapter 2. Their whole self, ruled by the flesh, has been cut off, dead and buried. A decisive end to the old way of life. But not only that, there's also been a decisive start to a new way of life. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "You have been raised with Christ." I guess it's a bit like a needle and a thread. Wherever the needle goes, the thread goes. Well, as those who trust Christ, we've been united with Christ. So wherever he goes, we go. Christ died, so we died to our old way of life. And when Christ was raised, we were raised. A new life has started. This is thrilling stuff. But there's more. Turn to verse 3 and have a look at where we are now. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now this must have been massively encouraging to the Colossian Christians that the Apostle Paul is writing to, because they have never met the Apostle Paul. They've heard the gospel from this guy called Epaphras. And so, you know, are they really Christians? They've never met Paul. Have they got the real deal of Christianity? Or do they need something more, something extra? Well, Paul says, no, you do not need anything more, because look where you are now, spiritually speaking, with Christ, who is in God. Or as verse 1 puts it, we're with Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, the place of supreme authority over all creation. The place of supreme authority over the new creation that has broken in through Christ's resurrection. We are with Christ. And he's also the sufficient Saviour. Do you remember that in chapter 1? Christ being the sufficient Saviour? Because he's seated. The saving work he came to do on earth, his life, his death, his resurrection, it is done, accomplished. And so he has sat down. That is where you are, Colossian Christians. And that is where you are, Oswestrian Christians, with Christ at the right hand of God. And so we do not need anything extra. Because how can you better that? But the amazing thing is, the thrilling thing is, it is going to get even better. Have a look at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What is hidden now, our life with Christ in God, what is hidden now, one day, is going to be revealed. When Christ appears, we will appear with him in glory. And so this is thrilling stuff, isn't it? This is thrilling stuff, isn't it? Yes. Good. Past, died to sin, alive in Christ. Present, with Christ in God. Future, glory with Christ. It is no surprise that thankfulness runs through the book of Colossians like the word Blackpool rock runs through a stick of rock. Over here at great expense, I have the biggest piece of Blackpool rock on earth.
Here it is.
Those of you who saw Paul's giant plug a few weeks ago, I thought the youth worker cannot be outdone by the vicar. So here we have a giant piece of Blackpool rock. Now, you know that when you crack rock, it says Blackpool rock all the way through, doesn't it? Now, this piece of rock is so big, I just can't crack it. I'm not strong enough. But if we did, we'd see that it says Blackpool rock all the way through. Wherever you snap Colossians, you find thankfulness. There we go. You might not be able to read the writing on the rock, but hopefully you can see it on the screen. Wherever you snap Colossians, you find thankfulness. Have you noticed that as we've been going through the book of Colossians over recent weeks? Chapter 1, verse 12. We pray that you'll live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Continue to live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up, overflowing with thankfulness. Chapter 3, 15 to 17, next week's passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Verse 16, singing songs to God with gratitude in your hearts. Verse 17, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians is a stick of rock, isn't it? Thankfulness running all the way through. So let's make our week, this week, like a stick of rock. Okay? That's what we need to do. You need to make your week like a stick of rock with thankfulness running all the way through. In your prayers this week, and when we talk to God this week, let's be thankful for this thrilling truth. Past, died to sin, alive in Christ. Present, with Christ in God. Future, glory with Christ. Let's be thankful. Okay, so that's thrilling. But Paul also wants the Christians in Colossae and us to do some tilling. He wants us to prepare the soil, some cultivating, some nourishing of the new life that we enjoy. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds, verse 2, on things above, not on earthly things. We've seen again and again in this series in Colossians the key verses of chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, which talk about remaining rooted in Christ. Paul Darlington's been using this illustration of a tree, hasn't he? that we want to be like a healthy tree putting big fat roots down into Jesus. Well, how can we go about tilling the soil and cultivating, nourishing our roots so they grow down deep and strong into Christ? How are we going to grow roots like that? Well, the Apostle Paul has just told us tilling involves setting our minds on what's above, setting our hearts seeking that which is above. I'm currently teaching our third and final son to ride a bike at the moment. And one thing that all of our sons have struggled with when they first learnt to ride a bike is looking down. It just comes naturally. You look at your feet instead of having your head up. And you know that if you're trying to ride a bike and you're looking at your feet, you just wobble around and you bump into things and you get hurt and other people get hurt. You see, if you're going to make progress on a bike, you've got to keep your head up. And if we're going to make progress as Christians, if we're going to put down big, juicy roots into Christ, then we need to keep looking up. We need to fix our minds on heaven. In fact, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 2, don't look down. Don't set your minds on earthly things. We thought about that last week, didn't we? If we're pursuing some new religious experience outside of Christ, that's actually looking down at earthly things. Or if we go after some new religious knowledge outside the wisdom that's in Christ, that's actually to look down at earthly things. Or if we start following some human religious rules outside of Christ, what he taught, that's actually to look down at earthly things. Doesn't matter how religious and heavenly we might look, we're looking down and not up. And that means we're going to wobble, we're going to bump into things, we're going to get hurt, we might hurt other people, and our roots into Christ will not grow. So don't look down. Paul says, fix your minds on what's above. And what is it we see when we look above? Well, it's all the thrilling stuff we've just been thinking about a moment ago. When we look up, we see the needle and the thread. When we look up, we're reminded that Christ is sat at the right hand of God. He's supreme. He's sufficient. And when we look up, we're reminded that where Christ is and where he's gone, we are and we've gone. Past, died to sin, alive in Christ. Present, secure with Christ in God. Future, glory with Christ. That's what we see when we look up. And that is what's going to help us put down big, juicy roots into Christ. We need to do some tilling, some cultivating, nourishing. And we do that by looking up, by setting our minds on what is above. So how can we do that this week? Well, we need to pretend we're riding a bike this week. Already got a stick of rock. Now we need to pretend we're riding a bike. We need to keep looking up this week, not down. It's going to require determination. Why not be determined to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 this week, as well as the book of Philippians, to get us ready for the weekend away? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 in your Bible right now. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Read it as many times as you can this week, as you like. You could read it on your own. You could arrange to meet a friend from church. Go out for a nice coffee. Have a nice chat. Read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Read it on your own, with a friend, with your family. Because as you read it, you're going to be looking up. Because that's what it's all about. It's helping us to look up. And as you do that, you'll be, in gardening terms, tilling. You'll be nourishing your roots in Christ because you'll be focusing on what is thrilling, on what's above. So that's thrilling, and it's also tilling. Finally, it's time for some killing, which sounds awful, doesn't it? But it's a good kind of killing. Have a look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death. And in the remaining verses, Paul has two lists of five things each that we are to kill, that we are to put to death. Paul actually uses a different metaphor for the second five things. We'll be thinking about that in a moment. But it's the same idea. There's some stuff that we need to get rid of. Now, I wonder if you saw this article this week. Texas man nearly dies after being bitten by severed snakehead. Anyone see that article this week? Great, a few of us. The report says a Texan required 26 doses of antivenom after he was bitten by the severed head of a rattlesnake he had killed. Jennifer Sutcliffe told the local TV station that her husband was working in the garden when he saw the 4-foot rattlesnake and decapitated it. When he picked up the snake's remains to dispose of them, the head bit him. The report goes on to say that a snake's bite reflex can be triggered up to several hours after it has died. That is crazy, isn't it? Now, thankfully, this guy is in a stable condition, but that's mad. This snake was dead. It had had its head chopped off. But old habits die hard, don't they? Even though it's dead, it bites him. Well, in a similar way, Paul is saying that as Christians, our old life has died. The sinful nature is dead. It's had its head chopped off. But old habits die hard, don't they? Old ways of life can live on. And Paul says, you need to put them to death. You need to put old ways of life to death. And so let's look at Paul's first list of five things in verse 5. Have a look at verse 5. Firstly, sexual immorality. In Bible terms, that's any sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Paul says, put it to death in your life. Secondly, Paul says, impurity. Again, that is any sexual behavior that makes us unclean before God. Paul says, put it to death. Then Paul moves on from behavior to our hearts, to our desires. And so thirdly and fourthly, Paul mentions lust and evil desires. It's similar to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So it's not just what we do, it's what we look at, it's what we think about, and it's what we do in our hearts. And fifthly, Paul lists greed or covetousness. Now again, this could be connected with sexual sin. The 10th commandment is do not covet, and one of the examples in Exodus is do not covet your neighbor's wife. But there's also a wider meaning here as well. Greed or coveting is when we want more and more material things or more and more money at the expense of others. Jesus says we can't serve two masters, both God and money. And so when sex, money, material things start mastering us, well, that's idolatry, isn't it? End of verse 5. We're worshipping created things instead of the Creator. But old habits die hard, don't they? Like weeds, we think they're gone, but then they come back. Or like that snake, it's dead, but then it bites us. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to kill off the old habits that Paul lists? Well, the way to go on killing is to go on tilling, okay? Key thing. The way to go on killing is to go on tilling. Tilling is setting our minds on things above. That's what Paul gets us doing in verse 6, isn't it? Have a look at verse 6. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. When we look above, we see God's values. We see what God thinks about our old habits. When we look down, we see earthly values. For example, you know, the Western culture that we live in, our culture says sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman, what's wrong with that? Pursuing more material things at the expense of others, that's just the way the world works. That's how we've got to be to get ahead. This is how our minds are programmed to think, culturally speaking. So our minds need recalibrating. We need to set our minds on heavenly things and heavenly values. And when God sees the things that Paul lists, he sees symptoms of a world that's turned its back on him. And because of that, his wrath is coming. And so to let these things go on living in our lives, it's inconsistent with what we know of God's values. Values that we're reminded of when we look up. It says, kill them off. But also have a look at verse 7. Paul says, you used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. You see, when we do some tilling, we look up, not only being reminded of God's values, but we're also reminded of who we are in Christ. You see, the old life has gone. It's been crucified, dead, buried, gone. And so to let these things go on living in our lives, well, that's just inconsistent with who we are now. So let's be consistent with who we are. Let's kill off the stuff that's from the old way of life. And you get on with killing by getting on with tilling, by keeping on looking up. So that's Paul's first list of five things. Finally, let's turn to Paul's second list of five things in verse 8. It's actually six things. There's a bonus item. I don't know if you noticed that at the end of the list. So verse 5, Paul talks about anger and rage, losing our temper with each other. Malice. Deliberately saying or doing things to harm others. Slander. Gossip. Vilifying others. Maligning someone's character. Filthy language. Obscene, abusive language. And sixthly, the additional one, set apart for emphasis, lying to each other. Perhaps, not keeping our word to each other. Perhaps giving each other worldly advice instead of godly advice. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Paul's actually using a different metaphor here. In the first list of five things, he talked about killing off stuff. Now he's talking about getting rid of stuff. And the metaphor here is to do with taking off clothes. Because verse 10, have a look at verse 10, we've already put on new clothes. Verse 10 says, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. I guess we could think of a football player who's signed for a new team. So they wear the new strip, don't they, when they're playing for the new team? It's like new clothes. It'd be really odd if they continue to wear the odd bit of old clothing from the old team, like the odd sweatband here or the odd pair of shorts there, or maybe a sock, you know, for the team that they used to play for. That'd be really inconsistent and out of place, wouldn't it? Well, as Christians, we have put on a new strip. Verse 10, we've put on the new self or the new person. And what or who is this new person that we've put on? Well, it's none other than Christ himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul is writing to the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Christians are people who have been clothed in Christ. In Galatians 3, Paul makes it explicit. He says, all who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed in Christ. He is the new person who we have already put on when we became a Christian. And so it's in his image, his likeness, that we're being renewed into. And that is incredible, isn't it? But the really amazing bit is, who is Christ the image of? Colossians 1 verse 15, a couple of weeks ago. Colossians 1 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. And so that original purpose for humanity back in Genesis chapter 1, that human beings would be the image of God, that image was defaced in Adam, not completely gone, but defaced in Adam, defaced in every human being ever since, born into Adam. That image is now perfectly restored in Christ and is being restored in every human being who has been clothed in Christ, who's put on that perfect image. And because we're wearing a new strip, because we're clothed in Christ, Paul says, do some spilling. Spill the old strip. Shed it. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying, take it off. That's the old strip, the old image. You're wearing a new strip now. You are wearing Christ. And so once again, it's tilling, isn't it? It's setting our minds on what's above, who we are in Christ. That's what's going to help us not only do killing, but also do spilling, taking off the old clothes. But finally, it is not just one person. It's not just you who's been clothed in Christ. It's a new humanity who've been clothed in Christ. Have a look at verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. All the barriers that separate human beings, racial, religious, cultural, social, in Christ, those barriers are broken down. It's a bit like the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. Those of us who can remember that when it was on TV. The wall came down and you saw all these people, family, neighbours, strangers, hugging each other because the dividing wall had gone and they were finally one. Well, that's the church. That's us. In Christ, we are one. The dividing walls have been ripped down. So let's not start building walls again. You know, not keeping our word to each other, lying to each other, gossiping about each other, being angry with each other. That's just to build walls that divide. Instead, we need to keep on tilling, keep on setting our minds on what's above and remembering that together we are God's new humanity. And that even includes Christian brothers and sisters we might find hard to love. Together we're clothed, we're being renewed in the likeness of Christ, who is the perfect likeness of God. So there we go. Thrilling, tilling, and killing. And I suppose you could throw spilling into that as well. Let's keep on tilling by setting our minds on what's above, on what's thrilling. And that's going to help us keep on tilling. As we go about tilling, that's going to help us keep on killing old habits and keep on spilling, taking off the old life. Just to finish, I want to take 20 seconds. What is the old habit that you need to kill off or take off? It's very easy to think, well, I know what that person needs to kill off. And I know what that person over there needs to stop doing. But what about me? What about you? What old habits do you need to kill off or take off? I'm just going to spend 20 seconds of quiet just to reflect on that. This is not about beating ourselves up. Okay? God's saying that if you trust Christ, you are with Christ in God. If you don't trust Christ yet, God's invitation to you this morning is to start trusting him, to be clothed in him. But if you are trusting Christ already, you are secure with Christ in God. So it's not about beating yourself up. It's about becoming more consistent with who we are in Christ. So have a quiet think to yourself. What is it that you need to kill off as you continue to set your mind on things above? And then, after a moment of quiet reflection, I'll pray. Father, we're so sorry for our old sinful habits that die hard. Please forgive us. We thank you for who we are in Christ, that we've died to sin through Christ's death and been raised to new life through his resurrection. Thank you that we're clothed in Christ. Thank you that one day we'll appear with him in glory. Please help us to keep on tilling, to keep setting our minds on the spiritual realities above. And Father, as we do this, please help us to keep on killing off and keep taking off our old habits, and so become more like what you've created us to be together in Christ. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.